Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for a daily editorial. Jimmy actually is on the West Coast right now, came out for a board meeting. I'm going to talk a little bit about the CPI numbers right now. It's not looking real good in total, Jimmy, is it?
Yeah, there was expectation of a 0.3% increase in CPI.
Right.
So it beat expectations by only 1.1% increase.
Uh-huh.
And so that means that monthly basis down under the expectations. And then on an annual basis, it's about 7.1%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Right.
And of course, this follows last Thursday's release of the PPI numbers, the producer price index numbers, which showed a slight reduction in the speed of inflation. But don't be fooled. Both of these numbers still show an increase in inflation.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got that with fuel prices going down quite a bit. So food and energy, you know, those are still dueling, you know, challenges, with food very high, energy dropping some. But when you strip that all away and look at the core inflation rate, it still is up to 6%. And so we're still seeing pretty significant inflation.
Well, you know, all you have to do is go to the grocery store and you're going to see that. I mean, it's incredible what I'm paying for groceries up here. It's very, very obvious that food prices have to be doing badly. I was reading the Kiplinger letter, and they're talking about job growth, and they expect job growth to continue in the face of a slowing economy, and they're looking for decreases in interest rate from the Fed. They're looking at starting in January, and then March, they're looking at 5% boosts in the interest rate. That's about it.
Yeah, I think this next meeting, the expectation right now out there for most people is at about a 50 basis point increase, about 0.5% in the market, which would put things at about 4.5-5% for the base rate. But the problem continues with labor. The number of people participating in the labor force is still showing a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
There's quite a few people that haven't come back since COVID.
Yeah.
And a lot of young people are not coming back, but a lot of older people are retiring and saying, okay, enough is enough. And they're getting out. They figured out they could live on, you know, different levels, different means. And that could be have a direct correlation with people that were living in high expensive areas, like in the major urban coastal areas.
Yeah.
San Francisco, New York, LA, of course, Boston and places like that, and all along the East Coast, where housing prices were incredibly high. Many of these people have moved. They've moved to much lower cost of living areas, like I did, to South Carolina.
Yeah.
And those, and if you think about it, you know, they can afford, maybe they were working and they said, okay, enough is enough. And they're just like, okay, I can afford to live now with lower costs and cut my, you know, cut my expenses and try to live better. So I think there's going to be a challenge that is really unprecedented in the analytical area on how this economy, because of what happened with COVID, how this economy will respond over time.
Yeah. Jimmy, what are you looking for an impact in terms of the economy on the elections, the next major election? You think we're still going to have a kind of a dicey economy at that time? I personally do.
Well, I think that we're in a little bit of a, you know, winter lull with fuel prices. We're going to have heavier weather coming up pretty close. So heating oil is going to be up. A lot of prices are going to go up that way.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if the Biden regime continues down the road to try to stifle domestic energy production, we're going to have problems. If the continuation in Ukraine and the war goes on for a long period of time, and a lot of people are expecting it to go through the summer at least, that's going to continue to have an impact. A lot of companies are laying people off right now.
Are what?
Laying people off.
Oh yeah, you bet. Amazon
being one.
Most companies
have already predicted recession. So my guess is we're going to have probably a recessionary period for a period of time. I think we've been in one somewhat for what now, you know, 3 or 4 quarters, with the, even though these numbers don't show it in this last quarterly report, I think there are other structural issues. And of course, the money that the federal government has been spending and the Fed has been creating, just unbelievable. And that's all going to have a long-term impact. As we start to see, the way I look at it is, things like the crypto collapse will be a contagion to other areas. A lot of the finance that was, you know, built up for loans, a lot of that capital is going to disappear. And that may have an impact across the board in financial markets, in liquidity. And I think we're going to see some problems with a lot of companies over the next, you know, 6 to 8 months at least.
Well, I think the interesting question is, number one, the guy who was running the exchange was arrested yesterday down in the Bahamas or something like that.
That's right. And Sam Bankman-Fried, yep.
Yeah, which I think is interesting. A lot of people are saying that in spite of the, quote, breath of the carnage, many cryptocurrency funds, even though they've gone bust, they think that the end may not be here. What do you think about that?
Well, the end's not here because a lot of the idiots continue to invest in it.
Yeah.
In my view.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of people are trying to prop it up. And the reason why they're trying to prop it up
they're
is because
to save
they have
their skins.
Pardon me?
They're trying to save their own skins.
Exactly. And figure a way out. Because, again, it's not tangible. I mean, the idea, the theory behind it, and, of course, the ability to transfer information without the expense of all these middlemen would really significantly change our economy very rapidly. So is it a good thing? Maybe in the long run, cryptocurrency would be good if it was unregulated. But what we're seeing is governments around the world moving towards digital currencies. Those digital currencies will be regulated by those states. That puts pressure on cryptocurrencies. And oh, by the way, no one really wants to see this type of collapse that you've seen with FTX and Coinbase and all the other exchanges. So it's going to be regulated. And then unfortunately, it gives those governments tremendous power over individuals' choices and rights of how they spend their money and potentially do what the Canadians did, take money away, lock up accounts for people.
Yeah.
That don't align politically with the current policies of a government. Very dangerous precedent.
Jimmy, I got to ask you a question. What do you think about the concept of the quote-unquote Biden bucks, the digital currency in the United States?
I think it would be a disaster. I think it would be an absolute disaster because they'll control the means. I mean, ultimately, that's control of the means of trade.
Yeah.
Which means total government expansion and control of every aspect of your life.
I think what it basically means is total control of every asset that you've got. Yeah, the amount of regulation that could come out of that is absolutely terrifying to me, Jim.
Yeah, that is to me too. Because Biden thinks that you're a Republican.
Yeah.
Because maybe you supported Trump.
Yeah.
That somehow your assets need to be one first locked out and then potentially forfeited because you're a threat to democracy. This is the exact danger that every tyrannical government pushes down the road. And having the means to control people's lives and their food and their health is exactly how you do that. And that's what I see is very dangerous.
I'm not really sure that Big Al is anywhere near a threat to democracy. I think I'm an asset to democracy.
Debate is an asset. Good analytical discussion, good debate is absolutely critical, essential for free people.
Yep.
And unfortunately, we're seeing that close very tightly, certainly with the tech companies in cahoots with federal government agencies like the FBI and the intelligence community.
Well, I think our program, quite frankly, shows just what the value of debate is. I mean, a lot of good things come out of the program, in my opinion. Of course, I'm a little biased.
Yeah, I think basically good discussion and at least ideas, you know, and we need to spread those. We need to get people thinking, not the mainstream media spin, you know. Basically, what you've got is so much control with a handful of corporations that are really pushing their agendas, but they're also pushing the agendas for a political party. that political party wants to control and take power with no competition. That's the danger that we're facing right now in America and the world.
Is that going to happen, in your opinion?
Well, it will if we, you know, what's interesting with Elon Musk and opening up all the books on Twitter.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there of how corrupt and how, you know, involved government officials were in actually silencing and influencing outcomes that directly affected the 2020 presidential election. That none of the major corporation media outlets are actually reporting on any of that.
Yeah.
You have to. So bottom line is the media pundits and the speakers only care if it's coming from their side and their agenda, because their side has predominant control over the media, over the population.
Yeah.
So if we don't have more voices outside of that corporate controlled effort, we will basically be just propagandized into submission.
Yeah.
And that's what I see happening, because really, I mean, there's so many embarrassing things happening with the Biden administration. This guy, Sam Brinkman, the guy that was working in the Department of Energy,
yeah,
that stealing ladies, you know, hand baskets. That's, yeah, just unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
And then you've got Pete Buttigieg, you know, this latest on him is doing exactly what a former Trump official did, flying private jets for, you know, basically all kinds of different things, and you know, as Secretary of Transportation, and still yelling about climate change. You know, these things got people fired in the previous administration. They're being ignored by the media and the press in this administration. So they, unless they feel the pressure back from those entities that have a lot of power, like the Washington Post, the New York Times, CBS, ABC, NBC, and NPR, then there's not going to be pushback, because, yeah, most people will not pay attention. They won't know. They'll live inside their bubble.
Jim, let me ask you a question. There's a very, very interesting statement on the first page of the Kiplinger Letter, which provides forecasts for executives and investors. In their words, they're saying, quote, more government regulation is going to end the freewheeling nature of the business of the business world. What do you think about that? And that's bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm actually going to a board meeting today talking about SEC and FINRA continued regulations and Geithner and what they're doing. And basically, they're making it so expensive for small firms,
yeah,
investment companies to operate because of the regulatory requirements, that they're being crushed. And
right.
I think that's on the influence of the major investment groups like, you know, BlackRock, Fidelity.
Yeah.
They're pushing smaller industry competitors out of the market so they can control. And I think that's exactly what, you know, the government, this administration wants. They don't want free business. They want business under their thumb. To, just like with the digital dollar, they want to be able to control the outcomes. And that's the fundamental difference between a conservative and a liberal and a progressive policy.
Yeah.
One believes in more government regulation. The other one says, hey, let people operate and, you know, work in their best interests,
right,
with little influence.
Jimmy, you've got some really interesting opinions, and I think that based on the comments that we're getting from our bloggers, I think most of our listeners happen to agree with you with your opinions, which I certainly appreciate. Jimmy, we've been going close to 15 minutes. You've got a board meeting that you have to get to. Let's put this thing off, and we'll be back again tomorrow morning. How's that?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Jim.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.